Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to those of you who are out there on the internet. This is day four of our 2014 Ministers Convention out here at Grace Ranch. We've had a very good week thus far, and let's enjoy the presence of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for bringing us here together, and we thank you for this opportunity to serve you and to learn of you. And I just pray, Lord, may you open up our hearts and minds to receive wisdom and instruction that we may go forward in conformance with that and do that which is pleasing in your sight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Size of your heart.
the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away.
All right, we got the mic hot. Well, it's good to see you guys. It's good to be out here. And I guess if I get tight, I tend to go back to what I know. You know, in the military, they say you respond according to your training. So I'm a little tight. And one of the best, most encouraging scriptures that I've ever heard is the birth of Christ. And thing that's fascinating to me about it is who it was said to. It's when the angels appeared in glory to the shepherds on that hillside, they weren't really anybody. They were like many of us, just guys doing shift work, really. And they were very afraid, the shepherds. And the angels said, "Behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I love that, unto you, unto me. And that had to happen. You know, the Lord said that he would do a new work. Instead of just giving the written law, the Mosaic law, he promised that he would write his word into the fleshy tables of our heart, which is apparent. And then he sent his own son to show us what that would look like and how to live that out. And so we see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. His way is the way. But we still didn't get it right and don't get it right. And I think of what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "To him that worketh is the reward reckoned not of grace, but of debt." Not of grace, but of debt. And then he went on to say of himself that he did not frustrate the grace of God. But I would say of myself, I greatly frustrate the grace of God. And this thing happens in a pattern, in a circle. It's very, very hard life, very frustrating. But there is hope and there is a new way. And I see by the counsel given to me through the word and through the ministers around me and over me and through the learning of how to fight the fight. You know, I was talking last night about like tools in a toolbox. So I know if I get, like I knew I was coming up here to preach. I was told that. So I prayed in the spirit. I was taught to do that. And I know that if I get tense at work, don't know what to do, to lift that up to the Lord. And if I don't even know how to pray, I've been taught to pray in the spirit. Now I've been taught if I start sliding out into the blues to just worship the Lord. And then one of the sisters made a suggestion last night about singing. Well, that's a great idea. I like to sing, and it's loud, so, you know, it's not like people are going to think I'm a loony. And that's legit, too, because we don't want to present ourselves in a way, just by our actions, that makes it hard for other people to come to Christ. And I am hopeful. I am hopeful in this new and living way. And I intend to not frustrate the grace of God. And in the message that I would bring to other people, I look at them, and I know, in fact, with Scott and Gail, y'all were talking about the New Orleans trip and how some people were out there saying, oh, you're sinners, you're sinners, you're sinners. And Steve's comment on that was people intuitively know they're sinners. We know we're lost. If we just take a look inside, how about here's a way out? You know, Jesus had lived with those apostles for, what, about three-plus years? And toward the end, these were his own, his greatly beloved. And it says he committed himself to no man because he knew what was in the heart of men. And we saw when it came down to it, John stayed close by. But the other apostles, they beat feet. So he's chosen to hold us, to forgive us, to correct us. And he has committed himself to us in that sense. But he has no great surprise. We get disappointed in ourselves. And I'll haul off and do things I didn't see coming. But he saw it. And he didn't reject me before. Nor will he reject me after. If I'll come humbly and own up to it and ask for forgiveness. And that path is always, always open to the end of my life. Which could be sooner rather than later. You know, nobody knows the number of his days. And I am hopeful. And I am pleased to be a part of the body of Christ.
Thanks, Brad. We've talked a lot about how good God is, especially last night when we were blessed by Brother Paul's message. That was probably his best message. I think of historical sermons that get put down and passed down for generations. That's one for the books. If I had ever heard one, that is one, you know, if the Lord tarries, somebody somewhere is going to open a book up and it's going to say The Goodness of God by Paul Muller, and they're going to read that. And it's going to be impacting people 5 generations from now. I pray to God that that's the case. Just like some of the old sermons of the guys that came over here with the Great Reformation or whatever. Steve knows the appropriate name of it, but some of those old ministers that we read those sermons, that was just one for the books, man. That was awesome. But we've talked about the goodness of God. We've talked about trusting God. And there's a passage of Scripture that I go back to. You talk about equipment, Brad. When we struggle, when we run into problems, where do we go? There have been times where I may have wanted to have a nice, well, more than one stiff drink. Because it takes the edge off. At least that's what you tell yourself. You know? But then you just sort of, that wears off and you're still faced with the same stuff you had before, right? Doesn't really solve anything. People will chase down all manner of things to try and, quote, take the edge off. And I was explaining this to Dad years ago. And he told me very, very simply, that's what Jesus is for. And so that's one of those pieces of equipment that goes in the toolbox. You know, when things start getting sideways, maybe it's sideways at work, maybe it's sideways in the town. I was talking to Angie a little bit about, hey, what's going on in Cottageville? Well, I don't know. probably good to not know what's going on in that particular place. But things can get sideways, and we start looking at them, and we can start fretting about things, can't we? We can start looking about the great what ifs. I know Steve talked about, I need you to go do this. Well, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do when you get there? You don't need to know that yet. Just go, you know. I think they were talking about Moses. Maybe it was Dad or Steve, I forget which. We're talking about Moses. Go to Egypt. Well, what do I do when I get there? I'll tell you when you get there. Steve Sings was, the answer he gets from the Lord is, trust me. But we want to be able to organize it. And some of us maybe want to organize a nice little flow chart, right, Cheryl? A nice little, you know, get Visio out, right, Charlie, and put little boxes up there, little diagrams and things. And, you know, if the answer's yes, then we do this. If it's no, then we do this, you know. Sort of like the eternal, heavenly phone order kiosk, you know, thing, the guy's taking your thing. What's wrong with your cable modem? If the answer's yes, you know. We want that sort of flow chart that sort of walks us through the process so we can, you know, just know what's going to happen. Well, that doesn't take any faith. That's actually sort of the law. That's sort of unbelief. We've been called to walk by faith. Amen? To do that, you have to trust the Lord. Because if you don't trust the Lord, you're never going to be able to take the step. You just won't do it. You'll always want to have the whole picture before you're willing to move. And then if that's the case, you're just never going to move. God doesn't operate that way. He just doesn't. But we go back to that. He's a good God. So you can trust him. You can trust him. And if you go back, here's David. Now, if there's any guy in the Bible who really was trusting God, even from a youth up, wasn't it David? When he was out by himself taking care of his father's sheep and he killed a lion. I haven't killed a lion. I've seen lions. They're scary. If it was me or the sheep or the lion, I would say, they're the sheep. See ya. And then it was a bear. Right? And then there was Goliath. And the list goes on and on and on. And then he had Saul chasing him. If there was ever a guy who had to really trust God at every single turn, not knowing the answer. He knew he was anointed to be king, right? But he had no idea how he was going to get there. He didn't know. He just knew. He's out with 600 reprobates out in the wilderness being chased. And he's supposed to be king. Now, if you're looking at that picture, it just doesn't look right. Somebody did not get the memo. But he trusted God. Amen? He trusted God. Here's Psalm 37, a psalm of David. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. We sang some of it today. A psalm of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. How many times do we fret ourselves over what evildoers are doing? How many times do we let that get us going off? Don't do it. Don't fret. Don't worry about it. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Do not worry what those other guys are doing. Don't worry about what they're not doing. Don't worry that it may look like they're getting away with it. They're not our problem. They're not your problem. You trust the Lord. Me, trust the Lord and do that which is right. Obey Him. Love Him. Love one another. We've worked through some of this stuff this week. Amen? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. We go back here, delight thyself in the Lord. One of Paul's favorite passages of all time is that Colossians, set your affections on things which are above. Have you guys heard him preach that a few times? That's what this is saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Set that which gives you the greatest joy to be the Lord. You choose that. You choose that. It's not going to feel natural at first. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle. If you've got an 18-wheeler standing still, getting it to move takes a lot of energy. If it's loaded full of, if it's loaded with a load, you're not going to push it with your finger and make it move. You're going to have to put it in granny low, and you'll go about 2 miles an hour before you're shifting gears. It takes a lot of energy to get moving, and our nature is contrary to God. Our will has been set to choose that which is of the world for so long that to turn our delight unto the Lord takes effort on our part. And we have to do it, 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 and we have to be diligent at it, and we have to persevere at it, and we have to keep doing it. And then when our hearts line up with His hearts, of course He's going to give us the desires of our heart. Amen? Here's the cool thing about God, as I've learned over the years. Those things that I may have wanted at times past, that I may have wanted purely to consume upon my own self, that I had set aside as, you know what, I know that's wrong to even be wanting that because of my motives behind it. And I've made the choice and I've made the decision to serve God and put Him first at various times. I have to go back and do it again. But it's amazing how many times the Lord, knowing that whatever it was that I would have found joy in, now that my head's on straight, my attitude's right, He yet still gives it to me. Because He's that good. He's that good. A wife is a good example. I sought a wife many different times. Unsuccessfully. Thank God it was unsuccessful. But the Lord's a good God. Once we delight ourselves in the Lord, He goes on and He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. We talked about this over in the after meeting when Brother Davey he held the toothpick up against the knife, remember? If you're not, if you haven't aligned yourself with God, your will is going to be broken. But if you line your will up with God's will, what can break you? What can break you? What can keep you from accomplishing that which He has for you to do? Not a thing. Not a thing. It goes and says, trust also in Him. There's that trust again. And He shall bring it to pass. There's a lot more in here. It's even a reiteration of stuff we've already talked about this week. Because the Bible it's all connected. Amen? It is such an amazing book. It's all connected. And it all has the same message. God is good. God is love. It's got that message. And we can grab hold of that and trust it. And we can trust Him. Amen?
Is upon you.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. And the letter of John really has a lot of powerful things. I mean, the word is just full of powerful things. But 1 John talks quite a bit about love, but it also talks about the promise of that love. And one of the points I want you to keep in mind, if you remember back when we were talking about Joshua and the children of Israel going, and God's commandment to Joshua was that he meditate on God's word day and night so that the Lord would make his way prosperous, right? And then Joshua then taken had to do that and be an example unto the people. And when the people did likewise, the Lord made their way prosperous, and they had good success, and no man was able to stand before them all the days of their life. The promise to us is that every enemy we have, every enemy that we have, every fear that seeks to come against you, everything that would seek to stop you from going out and walking it out as Christ has promised we can defeat. We can defeat every single one of them. For greater is he that is in us, right, than he that is in the world. Now, over here in 1 John, I'm going to start with verse 21 of chapter 3. And it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence before God, toward God. How is it that our heart can condemn us not? Well, first and foremost in all things, because remember, we wait for the hope of the righteousness, which is of God, because we can see ourselves and see how we fall short, right? But the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb on that day on Calvary is sufficient to forgive us all of that, every last bit of it, so we don't have to remain under condemnation. That's why over there in Romans 8 it says, you know, Paul goes through in Romans 7 about how that which he would do, he does not, all of these different things, and he's struggling, and he can't seem to do right. Well, if I was to just listen to folks as you came out here and as we began this week, you guys would have sounded a lot like Romans chapter 7. Would have sounded a lot like Romans chapter 7. But then Paul recognized a thing, and he said, "I myself, with my mind, will serve the law of God, my flesh, the law of sin." And then goes immediately, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God." Amen? And that's what we've been looking for, is we've been looking, how do we walk after the Spirit of God? And these messages have all been focused on it, and it really all boils down to one word: love. And that love that we're to walk in is first to God, then to one another, and then to those that are without. And we have to go forward in that. All right, and we know that, and that's where we have to get oriented here this week and begin walking it this week, so that by the time we leave this place, we're going to be steadfast in our commitment to walk in love and to not let what others do unto us be what governs what we do unto them. Amen? Now, he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." Now, you may remember, and it's actually, I'll go ahead and finish reading, but you'll remember maybe a couple weeks ago, Brother Davey preached a very short sermon in follow-up to one I had preached, I believe, in which he simply made the point that the commandment of God is that we love one another, right? That is the law of God. That's the royal commandment. He read, I think, John 13:34 or something like that, which we've read earlier this week. Let's watch. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And that Spirit that he hath given us is what we lean on and rely upon every single day to walk in that love. It's what we have to lean on and rely on every day to do that. And he gave it to us so that we can do it. That's why we've been talking about it. He wants us to succeed. Now, one of the things is, and this is the part that, you know, it's a struggle we face, and one of the reasons why the Lord gives us examples here on this earth that we can walk. I think everybody here has known and experienced and recognized the love that Brother Richard has toward us. We all know that. We've seen it. We've experienced it. And it's one of the reasons why we're here, is because we recognize it and we respect that love. We may not always like everything happens. We may not always understand all the reasons why different things are done certain ways. But we have a knowledge that transcends all that, which is we know he loves us. And yet, if you were to look at Brother Richard's life, his life hasn't been an easy one, has it? It's been a life that's been full of rejection. Even if we don't even leave this congregation, think of how much rejection there has been at various things that have been done. Think of how many times we judged him, found fault with him because we didn't like what he said, or we thought that it was stupid, or that, oh, that's Richard in the flesh, and all of these different things that we've done to justify ourselves and working our way around it. But actually, if you go through and you read the scripture, what you find is that the life that Richard has led is just like the life that Paul lived. It's just like the life that Jesus led. It's just like the life that Moses led. It's just like the life of the men and women we read about in the scripture. Rick was talking a little bit about David over here and his, you know, what's that guy who's over in England who's Prince Charles's son, Prince William or something like that, who's married to Princess Kate or something like that. Do you think he's being prepared to be king like David was prepared to be king? I mean, I don't think there's any relationship whatsoever. See, and we have worldly kings out here, and they seem to just get everything. They get the beautiful girl. They get to go fly airplanes if they want to. They get to go do whatever they want to. And they're protected and kept, and they have, if I want to go hunting, I've got a beautiful estate in prime hunting territory. You know, if I want to go swimming, I get to go to the finest beaches, and they cordon them off for me, and I get to go do this. This is the life that they lead. And it's a life, whether we realize it or not, we a lot of times have a certain envy of and wish. That's that, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We look at other people getting to do things that we want to do. And what we have to do is we have to change what we want to do. We have to change what we value. You know, I've talked a little bit about how the Lord all the time says to me, trust me. And it's always in all these different situations. I used to think, gosh, I wish I could be like other attorneys. They seem to like be, they're a criminal defense attorney, and so they get real accustomed to that. They know how things are going to go, or they become a family law attorney and they know how that'll go, or they become a real estate attorney and they know how that's going to go. And then me, what I do is I do all of those things, and every time I go up against people who are, that's all they do. And I'm always in a place of recognizing my own smallness if you will, relative to the people who are my opponents in these different things. And what's always amazing to me is in the midst of that, because I have a, how would I describe it? I certainly have a trepidation because I want to do well by my client, and I'm often not certain I can do well by my client because I really don't know what to do for my client. And everybody else seems to know what to do. And I'm the odd one out who's got the client who needs me to do something, but I'm the only one who doesn't know what to do to help them. And what happens in that is it continuously puts me back to a place in that uncomfortableness and that uncertainty and that place of needing, being needy and needing to rely on the Lord, because it's not like I have a partner I can go, hey, how do I do this? I don't have anybody like that. It always puts me in a place of being needy, and what happens as a consequence is God always shows up. He always shows up, and he shows me ways. And one of the amazing things in the midst is that by the end of the transaction, the trial, the what have you, the other side is often asking me questions about how to do things. They didn't even see it and had never considered the way the Lord gives me to deal with a situation. And it blows my mind because I start out, you know, down so low and having no idea what to do. And it's amazing how the Lord causes me to rise up above and be the one that everybody then looks to as the one who has the answer in the midst of the different situations. And I share that with you because it's uncomfortable, and it's an uncomfortableness I've come to live with pretty much every single day of my Christian life. And by nature, our flesh rebels against such things. It wants to have the formula with the boxes and, you know, kind of being the customer service person where if they say this, then I say that. If they say this, then I say the other thing. And that's how it is. And the walk of faith is never that way. And that provocation that it is on you to have to pray, seek the Lord, trust him to give you that which you have need of in that moment is something that is uncomfortable, but it's the way a mighty faith is forged. It's the way in which a mighty love is manifested. Because look, when somebody comes to me as an attorney, for example, one would hope that by coming to an attorney who happens to be a Christian, that they would get better service than they would get anywhere else. Because I know the one who knows how to provide the best service to them. So you would hope that the service that you would provide would exceed abundantly above all that anybody else could ask or think. And I say this to you because when you go back to your workplaces, Brad, I know you're in a new position and it's had its struggles. God is big enough to give you the wisdom, to give you the guidance, to bring you along to fulfill that in a manner that will exceed abundantly above all that your employer could have asked or thought. Right? Same is true of each of us in our different positions. Same is true of a parent towards a child. I mean, myself, I struggle as a parent. I feel completely inadequate to the task pretty much all the time. I'm watching Richard give Rose some guidance today, and I'm thinking, that's pretty good guidance. Why don't I ever think of anything like that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have to admit, I mean, that's my sense. But the thing is that our confidence has to be in the Lord, and if we walk in that confidence in the Lord will move mightily through us to fulfill his command as to us as parents, that our children can be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that such that when they are old, they depart not from that counsel, because they've received good and sound instruction from us. And so I share this, no matter what we're doing, all of us have the opportunity each and every day to exercise ourselves in these things. And part of walking out that victory is not drawing back from those things and being fearful and unbelieving, but rather pressing forward in those things, trusting God. And that's really going to be a key for each of us here. And the grace of the Lord will be there with us to cover our mistakes and things like that if we continue to trust in Him. And as He covers our mistakes, though, it's so that we can actually learn to do things His way and then make manifest that perfect and acceptable will of God, that other people can know how to be a good parent. They can know how to be a good employee. They can know how to be a good husband or wife, that they can know how to do these things, and we can teach others likewise because the Lord in His grace has taught us. And that's what we really need to be focused on and doing. We really need to get to that place where we simply trust Him, and those fears, those worries, those mental anguishes that try to come upon us and rob us, that we do not give them any place. Those are the tools of the devil to keep us from proving that which is that perfect and acceptable will of God. We have to go and confront them head on. In the verse, the thing I like here is how it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." I don't know about you folks, but when I look at this, that's where I want my walk with the Lord to be, is where I walk in that place because I am continuously seeking to do His will, to obey His commandments, such that whatsoever I ask in order, and basically whatsoever you're asking is so that you can go forward and fulfill His love. That you can minister in that love to the people before you, whether it be a prayer for healing, whether it be a word in season that really helps that person and sets them free, whether it be confronting with that sword of the Lord a demonic spirit that's seeking to turn you out of the way, whatever it happens to be that you have need of, as you call upon Him, He is at hand and moves mightily through you. To that. That's what Jesus said. Remember when He went up to Lazarus's grave? He said, "Father, I know that You always hear me. I know that You always hear me." He wants us as sons, just like Jesus is His son, to know that He always hears us so that we can walk in that like confidence. So let's take this time. Let's get that orientation. Let's get shed of the fears, the worries, and all of those different things. Let's submit ourselves unto Him and to His goodness. Get rid of that rebellion and all those things that we justify ourselves. And let's go forward in faith, trusting God, and loving one another. Amen. Praise God. Our God is an awesome God, and He wants us to walk it out. Amen? That others may know as well. For those who are on the internet, we'll see you back here this evening, and for those who are here, we'll see you over here at the camp kitchen for our after meeting. May the Lord bless you.